matter what people say, we got it going on. Who cares about what they do?
You know me, I'm the hottest in this.
WJMS, this is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats,
spazzle,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these streets. Well, happy Sunday, everyone. I hope you guys had an amazing weekend and are ready for the new week that is upon us. Speaking about what is upon us, Christmas break is literally around the corner, and I cannot be happier because I am taking time off from work. I am not 100% sure what I'm going to be doing. I'm hoping that that time consists of doing nothing, watching TV, hanging out with friends, maybe sitting down and thinking about the next creative moves, but I can't wait. And I know a lot of you guys are looking forward to it as well. And it's not really because of the holiday per se. I think it's just because of the time off and the fact that a lot of our friends and family will have time off. So collectively we'll be able to like spend time with each other, which I think is really, really important for us to do, especially with this ongoing pandemic. It's really hard to find time to spend together as a family. Just, you know, I don't know, putting our hair down. Is it what it is? Putting our hair down. You know, I always struggle with these phrases because even though I was born here, I still find it, you know, I didn't grow up in a household that had these sayings. So, you know, sometimes I feel like I forget like how to say some of these things. But letting your hair down. We can let our hair down. We can let our guard down a little bit and really enjoy the time. But either way, so on today's episode, I'm going to dive into some of these trending topics. There is a lot going on in these streets. Like this last week on social media, Twitter, Instagram, it was on fire with all sorts of salaciousness, all sorts of just interesting things. So we're going to get into it a little bit today. I know that we had talked about auditioning another individual for the According to RP co-host slot. However, I'm actually working on something different with this individual. So the decision for the co-host has been made. However, to keep you guys in even more suspense, we are going to reveal the co-host or the new co-host on our 150th episode, which is going to be in 2 weeks. So December 26th will mark our 150th episode, 50th live, not live episode, 50th new episode on According to RP. Can you believe that? I mean, we've definitely had more episodes, obviously, but in terms of new episodes, because, you know, sometimes things happen and we've had to play replays for you all. But this is literally going to be 150 brand new episodes on According to RP. So it's definitely a time to celebrate. We celebrated our 100th episode sometime, what, last year? So the fact that we have 150, that's a lot of episodes, I think, for any podcast, radio show. And I'm still going strong. You know, at some point I thought that I was going to wrap this up. No lies, guys. I was like, you know what? I'm a little tired. Maybe I need to pull back from some things, but I enjoy this. This is what I was created to do, among other things. When I was in high school, my guidance counselor told me that I should go into radio. I did not because, you know, Haitians don't believe that at the time, at least, that radio was anything but a hobby. But it looks, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, life, I guess, comes back at you. I don't know. It comes back in a circle. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. But really, really proud of the work that we've been doing here at WJMS and, you know, with Black Ivy Media and just the According to RP show. We've had so many great moments and we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going until the wheels fall off. I can't tell you when that's going to be, but we're going to be around for a little while longer. And I think with adding the new co-host, it's going to definitely add a different flavor, a different flair on this show. So I'm really excited for this because it takes off some pressure off of me. But I'm just excited for the new journey, right? There's a lot of new things happening in 2020. There's a lot of new things happening now. And I'm really excited to be going through this, I don't know, this new phase, this new transition in life. So with that being said, we're not going to go through all of the preliminaries today, only because some of the like the womp-womps and the big ups and stuff like that is going to string into the trending topic conversation. There's a couple of trending topics that we're going to get into. I actually hope that I'll have enough time to really get into them, because when I do solo shows, I always think that I'm not going to have enough time to get through everything. And the next thing you know, it's an hour and 10 minutes and I don't want to be on for more than an hour today. So with that being said, it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hot and fleek, is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is yuck my yums. Yuck my yums means to criticize personal preferences even though there is no purpose and nothing to be gained. Example, Betty vocally found my broccoli ketchup combination revolting, so I told her not to yuck my yums. Now, with most of these Urban Dictionary phrases and words or whatever, I have never heard anybody this side of the Mississippi, at least, use yuck my yums. I have no idea where this originated from. I have no idea at what part of the world somebody uses the phrase yuck my yums to describe an individual, to I guess to describe a scenario where a personal preference is being attacked for no reason. However, Urban Dictionary always provides these teaching moments. So even though the word is a bit crazy to me, and I don't think anybody will ever use this phrase. And if you have used this phrase, I always ask, and nobody really replies, but I don't know if it's because you don't want to, or you just don't use this, but I am curious if somebody is listening, because we also have, you know, I'm going to take this time to acknowledge the listeners that we have across the pond. I never remember to acknowledge you guys, and I am so sorry about that. We have listeners in the UK, in Ireland, in England that are, and I think maybe even in Scotland. I know we have some from Germany as well, too, that actually listen to this show. And I tend to forget to acknowledge them. So I am so sorry. We are acknowledging your existence here today. So I don't know, maybe in Europe, if you all are using this phrase, yuck my yums, please let me know. Send a DM according to RP on Instagram, according to RP at gmail.com for those of you who prefer a more formal way of communicating. But back to the lesson here. So there are times where individuals, for whatever reason, right, find it necessary to, I guess, yuck someone's yums. I don't know. But basically to vocalize and criticize someone's personal preference. Now, as somebody who has been deemed to be a bit critical, I am not going to move away from that. I can be a bit critical. I'm not going to lie. This is how my brain works. I'm a very analytical person. I'm a very precise person at times. And when it comes to my criticism, it's usually well received. I tend to not give insight or to provide feedback in settings where it's not, you know, acceptable, right? Like I'm not going to go up to a stranger and let them know something. Usually it's within my friend circle, my family circle, and usually it's sought after. People like to know what I think. That's how this whole according to RP thing came up. I tend to give advice all the time on a variety of things. So sometimes I find when people think that I'm critical, it's usually because they don't want to face whatever it is that I'm pointing out, right? I might be pointing out something of importance that they might not be ready to address. But I don't really engage in criticizing personal preferences just off the bat, right? But I find that in our society, this is something that happens a lot. Okay, this example here, you know, broccoli ketchup, right? Maybe if I tried it, I might say that this is not, I don't like it, right? I have a right as an individual to say that I don't like something. But there's a difference between saying that, you know, you don't like something and then actually criticizing someone's personal preference, right? By saying, how can you like this? You're disgusting. You must be off the, you know, off your rockers if you can like something like this. Totally different from saying, I, Rita Pierre, do not, I'm not feeling this broccoli ketchup combination. However, if you love it, I like it, or if I like it, you love it, or whatever that saying is. What is that again? If you like it, I love it. There you go. There you go. So I totally see where this definition is going. I totally understand what it's trying to convey. And I think that it's valid. I think that, you know, the meaning behind it is valid. I think that there are people out there who like they kind of thrive on this. And it's like, dude, if you don't like it, that's fine. But you don't have to, you know, dog somebody out for their personal preferences. So would I use yuck my yums? No, I think I would just say, listen, don't shit on me. I don't know. or that's my personal preference. You know, you don't have to like it. Call, you know, and call it a day. I don't think I would say don't yuck my yums. Because I don't even know what that means. Like, yuck my yums. That's why I want somebody to reach out and explain to me the origin of yuck. Like, what is a yuck my yums? You know what I mean? Like, what are yums? Does yums mean preferences in another language? I don't know. I'm not sure. And I would like to know because I like to know everything. So send a DM, send an email. Let me know what you think. So now it is time for our Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So this week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is petit tig se tig. Now, those of you who have Haitian Creole speaking friends who have parents who, you know, have been in this country for, who've had parents who, how will I phrase this? Parents who came to this country in their older age, right? So if your parents came to this country in their 30s and 40s, a lot of these like proverbs and sayings, you might hear them. You might hear them. For my people who, you know, came to America when they were like 5 years old and 10 years old, you know, they might not have this type of dialogue going on in their household. But either way, petit tig se tig basically translates to a tiger's baby is a tiger, or the baby of a tiger is a tiger. That's what it translates to. But the meaning behind it is more so we cannot deny the nature of a person. Petit tig se tig. A tiger's baby is a baby. It's a tiger. The baby of a tiger, the spawn of a tiger is still a tiger, right? And so I think this is very, very deep because a lot of times, you know, it's kind of like that saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. When you're, you know, characterizing an individual, like, okay, this is their mother. And then you meet the child and you're like, ah, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We see where this comes from. We see where these issues stem from. It's almost the same thing. Petit tig se tig. The spawn of a tiger, the baby of a tiger, the child of a tiger is still a tiger, no matter how you slice it and dice it. So when they say you cannot deny the nature of a person, if, you know, I am the child of a Haitian immigrant, or the child of Haitian immigrants, that runs through my blood. That is who I am. You know, like that is who I am. I cannot deny my nature. I cannot deny my culture. I cannot deny who I am. And so I feel like that was really, really deep when I saw that, because I hear it all the time. I hear, you know, the Gumuns. And if you guys remember, Gumun means the elders, the older people. When they go back and they're talking about whatever they're talking about, usually about other people and other people's children, they'll say that Petit Tig said Tig. It's like, listen, like, of course she's going to act like the mom, or of course she's going to act like the dad. Like, that's the dad. Like, she is the spawn, or he is the spawn of that parent. Like, this is not shocking. We cannot deny the nature of this child. Like, this child came from this, right? Was birthed from this. So this is who this person is. And I thought that was really deep. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, let me get a little intricate with the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. I feel like I've been giving you guys, you know, little words here. We need to graduate. It's been almost a year, I think, since we've been doing this segment. So wanted to graduate a little bit, give you guys some proverbs and give you guys some, you know, some phrases to go and impress these people, right? So petit Tig se tig is the word or phrase of the week. So now getting into, I guess it's the meat of the show. You want to call it the meat of the show. It's really a segue into these trending topics that have been going, you know, I guess, I don't know, causing great alarm on social media. So typically, you know, I would have like the womp womp of the week and, you know, the big up of the week. But I feel like there's so many womp womps. I'm like, to actually have a separate segment, I'm like, let me just get into the conversation. So the first trending topic of this past week was the mass firing of the Better.com employees via Zoom. So the CEO of Better.com, which is a mortgage company, he goes by the name of Vishal Garg, seems to be somebody from South Asian descent. He apparently fired 900 employees via a Zoom call. And I actually watched the video. So, you know, he was behind his desk, has a little notebook in his hand, prepared a little speech. And in this speech, he basically said, if you are on this call, you are part of the unlucky group that is being laid off, and your employment here is terminated effective immediately. He also went on to talk about what benefits, you know, these people were going to get. But imagine getting, you know, getting this Zoom link that you need to be on this call. I guess you think there's going to be important information disseminated. One of the employees actually, I think he was an underwriter, he actually thought that this was just a typical town hall meeting that was taking place. He had no idea that this was going to be like his last call. So homeboy essentially had these 900 employees on this Zoom call to tell them that things are not looking that great for the company. And he even said that the decision was on him, that he came up with this decision to terminate these individuals. I think what caused the, I don't know, the alarm and what caused all this backlash and all this conversation around this situation is the fact that he fired 900 people on a 3-minute Zoom call. Literally. Like, I watched the video. It wasn't like a Zoom call where everybody was invited to homeboy sat behind his desk and made his presentation and then abruptly ended the Zoom call. Like, there was no question and answer session, nothing like that. And I think that that's what caused a lot of the like alarm and hysteria and whatnot. So since that fateful day, he being the CEO, Mr. Garg, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, G-A-R-G, we're just going to call him Mr. Garg. This individual issued a very lengthy apology. Of course, we knew that was going to happen, right? This video went viral. Everybody is talking about it, how insensitive it was. The holidays are literally around the corner and you terminate 900 individuals. And in looking at the financials of the company, at least what was posted, I don't know if they're accurate, but this is a well-to-do company, right? So I don't know if this was a preemptive measure just to make sure that they continue to perform well. I don't know. Either way, people thought that the manner in which this termination, this mass termination was done, was insensitive, uncalled for over Zoom. Now, there are some who are like, listen, we are in the age of Zoom. You know, people are remote. What did you really expect him to do? But I don't know if a Zoom call would have been it for me. I think that maybe an email from HR, you know, I mean, I, you know, in the organization I work for, I work very closely with HR. You know, unfortunately, we've, you know, I participate in issuing terminations of individuals who are not following company policy. I think I'm very fair and even handed when it comes to that. So I know how that world works. An email communication, a letter, right, could have been issued. I don't know if the Zoom call that nobody knew, you know, the contents of, nobody knew that the Zoom call was a firing call. I think everybody being taken off guard in that manner, I feel, is also what caused some of the backlash. But either way, he apologized. He sent a lengthy apology, but that's expected. Like, I mean, you went viral. Of course, we knew an apology was coming. But after the apology was issued, Homeboy decided that he was then going to take a leave of absence effective immediately. Now, he is the CEO of this organization. I don't know what recommendations were made to him by a board or whatever the case is, but Homeboy decided that he was taking a leave of absence effective immediately. Now, what does that leave of absence entail? I don't know. I don't know if this is, you know, a leave of absence that will essentially turn into a resignation. I don't know. But that's where we are with him. That's as of recently, a few days ago, I got that piece of information that Homeboy, Mr. Gar, CEO, the viral mass terminator, is taking a leave of absence from his position. But I guess this is just, I don't know, you know, it's, I think that it definitely was done in poor taste, but many are saying like, well, what exactly do you expect? I mean, everybody's working remotely and this was just a more efficient way of informing the workforce that they are no longer going to be employed. But I don't know, it's a very sticky situation. Either way, the other trending topic of the week was the Jussie Smollett saga. So for those of you who are not aware of the Jussie Smollett saga, Jussie Smollett is or was an actor on, at one point, the hit show Empire that featured Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard. I used to watch this show in the beginning when it first came out. I was watching Empire, and I think when the second season aired, I stopped watching Empire. So I cannot tell you. I think that Empire is still on the air. I don't know. But me and my circle, we, for the most part, have stopped watching Empire after season one. Either way, Jussie Smollett was an actor or is an actor on Empire. And so I think it was, what was it, last year? Like, I almost, you know, with this pandemic, I really just don't know what, you know, I can't, time is like, I don't know, it's an illusion for me. But I guess maybe before the pandemic, either way, it was during the Trump administration, right? Jussie Smollett apparently staged an attack. At the time, Jussie claims that he was attacked by these two individuals who were wearing masks, and they were also wearing MAGA. I think were they wearing MAGA hats, or they were just yelling out MAGA, right? Make America great again. And so he, you know, the police were called, the report was taken, investigation was launched, and, you know, it was labeled as a hate crime because Jussie is, you know, black and homosexual, right? So apparently it was, I think they also threw out some gay epithets and whatever the case is. And I believe there was also like a noose involved. I think somebody put a noose around his neck as well. Like, it was crazy. And I think the even crazier part of this is that this scenario, this situation took place at like 2 a.m. in the winter, in the brick winter of Chicago. I personally have not had the luxury or the privilege to go to the Great Chicago. I was supposed to go during the pandemic, and then the pandemic happened. It shut things down. But I have never had the opportunity to go, or I didn't create the opportunity, however you want to see it. Either way, I have not been to Chicago, but I had family members who lived in Chicago. I have really good friends who currently live in Chicago. And, you know, the internet says that Chicago is the Windy City and that it gets brick city over there, like, you know, sub-zero, right? So people were like, what was Jussie doing in the middle of the street at 2 a.m. in the dead of winter in Chicago? And who were these two individuals that were just lurking and, you know, and looking around for Jussie? Well, you know, everything comes to light. Apparently, Jussie was attacked by two individuals that he apparently paid to attack him. Apparently, the whole thing was staged. Why? I don't know. I don't know if he had an album coming out. I'm not really sure what the purpose of the staging was. I can't remember because so much time has gone by. So I don't know if he had an album, if he had a movie coming up that he was trying to promote. I don't know. But he staged this attack. He knew the two individuals. These two individuals were Nigerian brothers, Ola and Bola, I think. I know one was Ola, and I think the other one might be Bola. Ola and Bola. Either way, two Nigerian brothers that he paid to stage this whole situation. So obviously, investigation is now launched, and now Jussie is facing charges of felony disorderly conduct. But during the trial, I find out that Jussie was actually in a romantic relationship with one of the brothers. So I'm wondering, did Jussie, you know, he staged this for whatever reason. I think he paid them, was it $3,000? Something very cheap. I don't know. But he paid them money to do all of this. And then apparently the cat got out the bag. I'm wondering if there was trouble in paradise with the brother that he was allegedly in a romantic relationship with. And that's when he was like, you know what? F this. I'm not dealing this with it anymore. I'm not implicating myself in this BS. I'm reporting it. I'm calling it. I don't know. I don't know if those details were brought out during the trial because I wasn't really watching this trial. I mean, I was tired from the Ahmaud Arbery trial and all these other trials. So the Jussie Smollett trial wasn't really something that I was invested in so much. So these are questions that I need to seek answers to. But either way, the jury found Jussie Smollett guilty on 5 of the 6 charges that were brought against him. These were charges of felony disorderly conduct. And so with felony disorderly conduct in the state of Illinois, that carries a sentence of 3 years, right? And so experts say most people who have dealt in law enforcement, you know, former prosecutors, defense attorneys, they all are like, Jussie is not going to jail. Will Jussie get probation? Probably. I think he's going to get probation. I think he's going to get some form of community service. But I don't believe that Jussie is going to serve any jail time. I could be wrong. But I don't believe that he's going to actually serve jail time. I really do see him getting probation and possibly community service. So that's the Jussie Smollett saga. I mean, a lot of people were upset that this was even a thing. And when I say a thing, this whole investigation of Jussie Smollett and bringing charges against him, because for those of you who know, Chicago gets down, right? Chicago knows how to bust their guns. Bodies are dropping. I don't know. Is it every minute, every hour in Chicago? Chicago is known, you know, for its violence, right? It's known for its bodies. There's a lot going on in the streets of Chicago. So they're like, all of these resources used for this Jussie Smollett situation, like, what is that about, right? So With that being said, that is the Jussie Smollett situation. He, you know, he's been found guilty. The community seems to be happy about this. They're happy that, you know, his lies were brought to light and that justice was served. But I'm like, are we calling this justice? I don't know. Maybe the injustice is all of the resources that were used for this case. I don't know. So the next trending topic, the plumber. I know you guys heard about the plumber who found $600,000 in cash and checks inside of the walls of Joel Osteen's Houston mega church. Now, I have been watching this story unfold on social media and you guys have opinions. Many of you were like, nobody would have known about this. This would not have been top news. This would not have been nobody would have known. They would have taken the money and ran. Many of you have called this guy, you know, an idiot. Many of you would consider him the womp womp of the week for even turning in, you know, and reporting this information, because y'all would have cashed in and called it a day. Nobody would have known. But here's the thing. I understand where this individual is coming from to an extent, being a woman of Christ, a woman who wears the full armor of Christ, right? I understand where he's coming from, because here's the thing, no matter how corrupt the leader of the church may be, and I am not here to call Joel Osteen and friends corrupt, although there has been a lot of question, speculation, and investigations with regards to Joel Osteen's mega church, right? There's been a lot of faux pas from Joel Osteen's church. There were situations taking place in Houston in which he did not lend a helping hand. He did not do what Jesus would do, right? WWJD. He didn't follow that principle. But aside from that, aside from the fact that Joel Osteen may be shady and his church may be, I don't know, maybe it's used to wash money. I don't know. This individual might actually be moral and he might not want to mess with the wrath of God, because it's still, even though the leader might be corrupt, and I'm not saying he's corrupt, that does not negate the fact that this is still the house of the Lord. And so for him, he might be looking at it as, I am in the house of the Lord. If I steal this money, if I take this money, what may happen to me? God might smite me by day. God might strike me down. Like, I might suffer for this move here. So he might, you know, some of you guys are thinking about the right now. He's thinking about his eternal life. This individual is thinking about his eternal life. Do I take this 600K? Or whatever he could have gotten cash, because I heard that there were also checks. But let's just say there was $300,000 in cash, $300,000 in checks, whatever. If I take this cash money, can I take this cash money from the house of the Lord? You know what I mean? So this is probably what he was thinking, which is why he's like, let me report this ish. And let me pray that I can at least get a little reward for doing the right thing, for doing the Christian thing, for doing the moral thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he did receive a cash reward. However, the amount has people thinking, Joel, you could have done better. So the plumber received $20,000 in reward. This was, I think, maybe a couple of days ago I got this little tidbit. So about $20,000 he received as a reward for turning in the money. Now, some of you were like, Joel, you could have done better. It was $600,000 in the walls of a church. First of all, what is the money doing in the walls of the church? Is this blood money, drug money? What type of money is this that was hidden in the walls of the church? That's, you know, that is a question that needs to be answered. But many others are like, listen, He didn't have to get anything. It could have been like, thank you, the Lord will bless you. And that would have been it. But, you know, 20K, you know, you got 20K for doing the right thing. That's 20K more than you had in your pocket. What if you weren't the plumber, you know, of the day? You know, you wouldn't have, like, this wouldn't have been a thing for you. So the 20K, even though many are saying it should have been more, Others are saying it's 20K. 20K is still 20K. You could pay a couple of bills off with 20K. You could put 20K down payment, you know, on a condo or something. You know, it's 20K. They didn't have to give you anything, but they did. So be happy. So is the plumber the womp womp? I don't think so. I think that the plumber did not want to get any smoke from JC. I think he's like, I don't want to be smitten. I don't want no smoke from God. This money is in a church building where the Holy Spirit is supposed to be dwelling and flying around. I don't want any issues. Let me do the right thing. Even if he wanted to do the wrong thing, I feel like Jiminy Cricket, whatever it's on his shoulders was like, don't you dare mess with God's people and God's house, even though the leader might be corrupt. So there was literally people are still talking about this case, but I think that the guy did the right thing. If that's what he felt the right thing was to do, he did the right thing. Cause who knows? I'm sure Joel Osteen knew the money was in the walls. Like the money was in the walls, guys. It's not like it was an envelope that was found under a sink somewhere. It was in the walls for a reason. And I'm sure Joel Osteen knew that. So this guy being a plumber dealing with the walls, Joel would have known that he took that money. Now, the question is, if it is drug money, would Joel be able to say something, right? Maybe Joel, see, that's another angle too. The money was in there, you know, secretly, right? Could, you know, is it a situation where Joel, if the money was taken, could he even open his mouth to accuse somebody of taking the money that was secretly hid in the walls? How do you explain that? How do you explain that there's money in the walls? Questions that need to be answered. Either way, moving along. Chris Cuomo. Now, this one saddens me because Chris Cuomo is an amazing news anchor. I love watching his segments. I love the way that he reports. And I think that CNN certainly lost a giant. They lost a giant. They lost a guru. I mean, his show was the number one. You know, they definitely lost. However, I can't say that I disagree with their decision to terminate Chris Cuomo. And the reason I say that is because we're talking about journalistic integrity, right? Chris Cuomo was the lead anchor. He, as a journalist, was privy to certain information that the general public did not know about this, you know, ex-Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo scandal, right? The sexual harassment scandal. He had access to information in his position. Now, apparently, I remember, like, he didn't really comment on this stuff, and I think he chose not to, but he had access to information. And, you know, apparently, you know, of the many other things that was discovered, he, Chris Cuomo, was providing counsel or advice to the publicist or PR team or whatever the team that Governor Andrew Cuomo assembled to handle the situation. And I think that that's where the issue comes in, right? Because here you are, a lead journalist of like number one news outlet in the world. You have access to this breaking news scandal, right? Like this this Governor Andrew Cuomo situation was not just something that was followed by New Yorkers, but globally. Because remember, during the we're still in a pandemic, but during the height of the pandemic, Governor Cuomo, ex-Governor Cuomo, y'all know who I'm talking about. He literally took the lead, like he was like the leader of the nation when it came to this COVID situation. People from all over the United States and even the world were looking to him to see what he was doing, how he was attacking it. He went toe to toe with former President Trump, Agent Orange, on this. And so, you know, for his demise to be the way that it is, like that in itself is also sad. Again, I'm not going there because people cancel everybody for saying whatever they feel like these days. So I'm not even going there. But with respect to Chris, it's definitely sad that he is no longer able to, you know, be the anchor at CNN. And, you know, it's a sad situation, but I understand where CNN was coming from. You know, it is a conflict of interest, you know, at least that's how I view it. And I think that journalistic integrity, definitely. I mean, we don't want to start viewing CNN as, you know, a station that kind of picks and chooses, you know, what it want, how it wants to present the facts, or to know that there are insiders who are now feeding information to others and really compromising investigations or whatever. We don't want that. Not to say that news outlets already don't pick and choose, but you guys kind of know what I mean. Like, there's still a level of integrity that CNN has as opposed to Fox News, right? Everybody knows that Fox is trash, that Fox is very slanted. And some may even say that CNN is slanted a little bit to the right, but people find CNN to be, you know, credible. They find it to be a news outlet that has integrity. They want to maintain that. And I think as hard as it was for them to come to this decision, they knew that they had to. Now, there was a point that he, you know, Chris Cuomo was suspended. And, you know, management at CNN went to bat for him, right? At the end of the day, you know, this is Chris Cuomo's brother. He's still a human being. He's still a brother at the end of the day. And I think what Chris was really putting out there, like, listen, this is my brother, and my brother comes before CNN at the end of the day. And many of us would probably have done the same thing. I don't know if we would have done it in the same manner, but I think many of us would have done the same thing. I think that for me, maybe I would have come publicly or went to management, and I would have maybe had to recuse myself. Like, I think I would have found a more suitable way to do this, knowing the sensitivity of the, you know, the conversations, the topics or whatever, that I would have to find a way to separate myself from this with the help of management. And I think I would have had to come clean. Like, listen, like, I've been asked to provide insight, like, you know, what are my parameters here? But maybe he knew that even if he did bring this up to management and ask them for assistance, that they would probably still tell him he could not. So maybe that's why he did what he did anyways. But at the end of the day, I think CNN had to do what was best for them. You know, when this first thing came out, when this whole thing came out, they did go to bat for Chris, even though he was suspended. They still went to bat for him. But then when more and more details were coming out from the investigation of the AG's office, I think there was, I forgot how many pages, like hundreds of pages of reports came out, and these reports were reviewed by an independent law firm. And the information that they discovered, I think, was much more damaging than originally thought. At least Chris led them to believe that he just provided general, I think, I don't know, advice or just had general conversations. But apparently this report, you know, brought to light that it was actually more in-depth strategy. So I think at that point, CNN was like, bruh, you put us in a really bad predicament. Our back is against the wall with this. We have to let you go. And I think Chris understood that too. I think Chris knew what the consequences would be, but that's his brother at the end of the day. He was like, I'm not, like, this is my brother. I'm sorry. You know? So it's sad. It's really sad that this is what's happening with Chris. But at the end of the day, it's Chris Cuomo. He's probably going to create his own damn CNN. He had a podcast. I think he has a podcast with, who is it? Is it Don Lemon? I think he has a podcast with Don Lemon. I could be wrong, but I think it's Don Lemon. I don't know what the viability of that will be, you know, in light of all this. I don't know if Don Lemon's going to be like, ooh, let me separate myself from this. But either way, I think that Chris is going to be okay. I mean, apparently he had a book that was supposed to come out. I think that got canceled. That book deal got canceled. But he's going to find another angle. He's going to find another angle. This community, this society loves scandal. They love scandal. They love anything salacious. And he's going to, this book deal was canceled. He's going to come around and, you know, this is why I did it. The book, something like that. And I think the people who genuinely love Chris Cuomo and they love his reporting, they are still going to follow him regardless of what took place. Because many people think that he still did the honorable thing. He supported his brother. And a lot of people can resonate with that. And I think that that storyline is going to carry him. So, you know, it's a loss, I think, for the CNN community. But I think that he is going to be okay. So with that being said, everyone, I mean, we talked a lot about some of the trending topics. And I'm really interested in seeing what's going to happen this week. There's a lot more stuff going on in these streets, guys. I just don't have the time to really get into everything. So for those of you who've been following us on social media, I know that According to RP page has not really been on and popping. Usually the According to RP Instagram page is on and popping. You guys are really loyal when it comes to replying and commenting on posts. So I know that I've deprived you of this, but we are gonna be coming back with that. We are gonna be back to posting and, you know, getting you guys riled up against each other, because you guys are some of you guys are vicious. I'm not gonna lie. You guys are vicious when it comes to the responses. Like, I have seen some attacks on the According to RP Instagram page, but at the end of the day, you know what? It's a free country. You guys are allowed to express your opinions and you guys are allowed to disagree. That's the beauty of things. Disagreements, you know, sometimes breed, you know, understanding and can lead to true understanding. You know, sometimes you have to disagree and have to argue about something to be like, oh, wait, I actually see this other person's point. You know, that's just human nature. That's what happens. But we are going to get back to that. And there's a couple, you know, new things that are going to be taking place with WJMS. I don't think I'm at liberty to really say much on this show, but just keep it locked to According to RP. You're also going to be seeing a lot more from Black Ivy Media. Again, we kind of took a little bit of a pause, but, you know, tis the season to take pauses and recalibrate. That's what I believe in. I believe that sometimes you have to take a pause to really step back and see, okay, where are we going here? What do the people want? Are we giving the people what they want? So we are not dead. We are just taking a little bit of a break, but we are definitely planning a lot of great things. There's a lot of new segments that are going to be coming on to Black Ivy Media. You know, more panel discussions are on the way. So just want to take this time to thank you guys again for listening, for tuning in, for sharing, for commenting, providing feedback. Totally appreciate all of this. And again, thank you to those who are overseas, my UK crew, my Europe crew. Thank you for tuning in to the show. And, you know, that's a wrap, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all on.